Oh, buddy. What have we just seen? The U.S. men's national team absolutely thrashing, humiliating, some would say, Uruguay, the country. I mean, not even just their national football team. That was unbelievable. Shout out to everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. Mm-hmm. We are joined today with special guest co-host, the one and only Matt Doyle of Major League Soccer. Matt, what's up, brother?
I brought the good luck with me, man.
I did not know what we were in store for. Especially when I saw the lineup, I'm like, it's not going to be like Paraguay. It's going to be just a little bit more. Let's take our L.
Right.
And let's not be too.
I didn't think it was going to be an L. Right. But when I saw that lineup, I was like, oh, we're not getting any goals.
Yeah.
Like, this is just going to be a street
fight.
And
this is why you're not the expert,
this
man.
It's done. My day is over.
Look at this.
Faded into irrelevance.
Shout out to everybody watching across all the Yahoo Sports channels as well. We're here over at youtube.com/soccercooligans if you want to get in the chat. But this is remarkable. I mean, we're looking at the possession, 48-52 for Uruguay, 10 shots to 8, 7 shots on target.
That's the big one.
Alex Freeman sitting on a hat trick. Never in my days did I think this could be a possibility. This lineup, again, somewhat like clearly experimental.
I would have called it a C team. Like, honestly, before they started banging in goals left and right, I was like, this is the USC team. This is Mauricio Pochettino putting out guys who are on the fringes of the fringe, right?
right.
To say, like, all right, if you want to make the World Cup, if you want to even have a shot at getting called in March before the World Cup, you have to show me something tonight. And almost everybody he put out there showed him something, and it was... What I loved about it and what I bet he loved about it was that the first couple of goals, it wasn't beauty, right? They weren't
playing
Uruguay. It was like the first 5 minutes, Uruguay fouled them 5 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Really hard. And the U.S. guys all got up sort of collectively and were like, all right, we can play that game and we're going to beat the hell out of you. And that's what they did. And I guarantee you that's what makes Mauricio Pochettino happiest after this.
I agree. Yeah, because even at halftime, he was like most upset about the bicycle kick or whatever. Yeah. But even the chance created before that, he was frustrated by it. Somebody in the chat just said, Michael Ramey just said, stick to MLS, Matt Doyle.
All right, it was all MLS guys tonight.
Bro, this is a
It was Zed Berhalter, Alex Freeman, Diego Luna. Did you watch the same game?
I love it. This was the first goal, Sebastian Berhalter's first goal. We were watching it, and it's also an honor to be able to watch a USMNT game with Matt Doyle.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, it just, you know.
I should charge people for this.
I mean, there's people in this chat right now that would. Mm-hmm. They charge for to be able to watch a USMNT game with Matt Doyle and pictures of Matt Doyle's feet. Okay. They are.
That's weird. Okay. All right.
We got some strange people in the chat, bro. They're really locked into American soccer. So, but even when Sebastian Berhalter scored the first goal, the set piece and passing it to Dest and taking it back, and it was I had mentioned it was like basically the same set piece that Pulisic had when he scored. I think it was his last
goal.
And
I believe Toni Kroos was mentioned as well.
That's right. Yeah. Producer Sebastian Berhalter, the Toni Kroos of of USMNT. But the fact, even as it's happening, I'm like, I said it live. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. And boom, one of the fantastic goal. First goal. And I think that, I don't know if it was, what minute was that goal scored? That first goal? I don't remember.
It was about like the 15th minute or so, yeah.
But they were confident the entire game. I'm sort of thinking like, was that the moment that it all sort of turned? I'm like, oh, and they believe in them. But it seemed like they believed themselves the entire game.
It seemed like they fed off the physicality of Uruguay from the start, right? And that's Uruguay's thing. Obviously, they play great soccer when they want to, but also like they're always up for turning it into a fight. And that seemed like that's what they wanted to do from the start. And for whatever reason, that woke these guys up. And like, look, Poch deserves a lot of credit because he'd been calling that out in the U.S. player pool from day one. He basically said these guys are soft,
right?
And part of the one of the things he's done is say, like, nobody's guaranteed a spot. Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Gio Reyna. Like, you have to play your way back in, and then you have to keep earning it when you're here. And that's applied all the way down the roster to guys I never would have thought in a million years said Berhalter would have been part of the U.S. national team. And, like, folks, he's going. He's going to be, he's gonna be in that roster.
This makes things very difficult when it comes to picking a roster for
like, honestly, my buddy Tootle put it on Blue Sky that, like, we're 6 months from the World Cup. We only have, like, 8 or 9 guys who are locks. And not for the bad reasons. If you had told me we only have 8 or 9 guys who are locks, I would have been like, yeah, it's because everybody else is not playing that well.
Sure.
But instead, it's like anybody who's putting on the jersey these days is like making a case for himself. I couldn't ask for more.
It almost feels like the tide sort of turned in the fight against Paraguay, like the actual fight on the sidelines after the Alex Freeman, the whole thing, because they went into this game incredibly well, way better than I expected, given the roster that was there. This is also a game of first. So let's highlight, because the U.S. Did a few things that they've never done before. This result is quite shocking. So this is the first time the USMNT has scored 4.5 versus any of the 8 World Cup winning nations. You know what? You lose your World Cups.
We get at least one of those.
Yeah.
Right? We'll take 1930. We finish fourth in 1930. Okay, we came real close anyway. That's ours now.
Run that World Cup, bro. Yeah. It's ours now. And then also the first time the USMNT has scored 4.5 versus a top 15 team. Obviously the Uruguay's the bicycle could go. It's like, that was nice to see. Yeah, it made it a little bit more entertaining. But it wasn't a thing where I was any more nervous. Yeah. That first half, there was just complete control. And it's weird to play against a comable team that qualifies for the World Cup pretty much all the time. And they were making mistakes. Loose touches, bad passes. Everything sort of worked defensively that made Uruguay a little bit uncomfortable. The fight, the grit, the fouls. Mm-hmm. And they looked a little, I wouldn't say lost, but a little bit like, oh, I didn't know this is who I was playing against today. Yeah,
they were a little surprised that they hit first and the U.S. hit back.
Yeah.
And that's like you don't, I don't think they expected that. And I think, I mean, to be fair, you play this game 100 times and I think maybe only one ends up 5-1 to the U.S., right?
Yeah,
there's not, like, that's not a 4-goal gap between these two teams. And I think part of it was, you know, after that first goal, the shoulder slumped a little bit for Uruguay and they like just lost control of the game. But that's where you got to give credit to the U.S. because, like, killing them on set pieces for the second goal, Alex Freeman at the back post. And then the third goal, Alex Freeman. Well, first of all, Tim Tillman, what a tackle to start that sequence.
Fantastic,
right?
Yeah.
And then Alex Freeman and Austin Trusty playing a 1-2 on the side of the box, and Freeman dribbling Ronald Araujo, who's a starter for Barcelona, and I think it was a Betancur that he dusted as well. Like this was not on anybody's bingo card, man. Yeah, this is wild.
It was just, like, funny to see, like, players like Betancur and Ugarte that are, like, playing in really heated Premier League matches every day, being like, I can't figure out this Aiden Morris guy. You know what I mean? Like, Sebastian Berhalter is giving me a tough time.
I gave him a lesson.
All right, let me show you how things are done.
Yeah, right here. Let me tell you a little something about X-Dog.
Okay, Paul Carr. Shout out to Paul Carr. Had tweeted, the 5-1 win versus the USMNT's largest is the USMNT's largest margin of victory versus the World Cup winning nation. It ties the USMNT's largest margin of victory versus a CONMEBOL team, which was 4-0 against Bolivia in 2016.
Big gap between Uruguay and Bolivia. Yeah. Big gap.
Sure. But man, this was again, it's like difficult to kind of put into words.
There's a danger in reading too much into it because it is a friendly, right?
Yeah.
And like the danger goes both ways. Like, if the U.S. had lost 5-1, we'd all be, you know, pulling our hair out what little we have left. But like, it is just a friendly. That said, within the context of the fact that they beat Paraguay, within the context of they beat a very good Australia team, within the context of how hard they played against Ecuador, which is a really good team. Like, the U.S. has been playing teams that come out and lay the wood, and teams that are going to the World Cup next summer. And I couldn't be more impressed, man. I couldn't be more impressed with the way they done
Spider Zlatan asked the question, does this get Marcelo Bielsa fired? Do you think? Is this an embarrassing enough loss from a Uruguayan perspective? Do you think?
I can't imagine. Bielsa fired.
It's a little aggressive, but it is definitely. And it's also, I think, the Pochettino Bielsa relationship is also something, you know. It was almost a little bit like playing against your old team where you don't celebrate. Mm-hmm. Pochettino didn't really celebrate anything. No. Didn't took it more serious than kind of usual. And you also made the point about where he sort of basically called the players soft. But mm-hmm. I would even add that he's also called the fan base soft. Mm-hmm. He's like, meaning like,
are you doing the same thing right now?
No. I'm not.
What about the chat? Is the chat a little bit soft?
I think he's trying to galvanize not just the players, but the supporters themselves. He's like, we need you to be loud. We need you to show up. I don't think any club he's ever managed where he has to like, trying to get people in the door, right? You know, for comedy shows, we used to bark and be outside the comedy club, like, hey, comedy tonight, you want to go see go? And he has to do a little bit more than I think, as far as his special skills on his resume. But I think that was also a factor in the matchup against Uruguay. I want to go to, we got to grade the window.
Okay.
Because Paraguay and Uruguay, two games and where I thought competitive teams on paper, even before I see any lineups, I'm like, oh, Uruguay is going to give us a tough time. And really, oddly enough, it was Paraguay that was the tougher competition. But over these two games, like I said before, as far as making it more difficult on Pochettino, that has been fulfilled.
These are good problems.
These are very good problems to have. And I forgot who was it in the chat that said it earlier about my apology to Gio Reyna. I have to apologize to Gio Reyna because he even across both games, he didn't start in the second one, but he was fantastic. And again, I don't know can you not have good club form and then show up for your national team?
He's been doing it for 4 years.
It's the reverse Josh Sargent, bro. He got the opposite of whatever Josh Sargent has. But Gio Reyna across these two games, 105 minutes, one goal, one assist, and three chances created. And that first game, it's one of those games like immediately after you're like, oh boy, I think he's going to walk up.
The thing with Gio has always been attitude and health, right? And they have been mixed in that his attitudes towards training has sometimes negatively impacted his health. If you listen to the people at Borussia Dortmund, what they had to say about him over the years and maybe not getting back to 100% fitness. Mm-hmm. And certainly that led to some pretty famous issues in the 2022 World Cup. Talent has never been in question, man. Mm-hmm. It just never, personally, I think he is the most talented player in the roster. I think he's one of the two or three most talented players the U.S. has ever produced. Gun to head, I think he's number one.
Okay.
So, can he grow up enough in between now and next summer? If he can, and it seems like he's already doing that, right?
Yeah.
Then he'll be, and if he stays healthy, he'll be on the roster, dude.
Yeah, I really
he'll be in the 11 because he does stuff
he's that good.
He does stuff that nobody else.
There was in the game against Paraguay, he did the ball was in the middle of the field and he did a back heel at some point to pass, and it was just like it was like one of those things like. Yeah, it's not necessary, but it literally opened up and defenders were a little bewildered for a second.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it's like you say talent is not the question, but then when he's at Nottingham Forest and can't almost complete a pass.
You don't want to send talented people to England. That's not the right that's not the right place. Okay, that's not it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good point. I didn't I keep forgetting that about that. But the It's almost it feels risky to see this club form and then bring him to the World Cup. And it's like, what if he has another 6 months, 8 months where it's the same? Do you bring him anyway?
I would because we've seen Well, let me give you this stat. He's played 3 continental finals. He has 5 goal contributions. I think it's 2 goals and 3 assists, right? Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey together played 12 finals and combined, they had 6 goal contributions. Those are our 2 greatest players of all time. They have 1 more goal contribution in more than twice as many. If he is healthy and his head is on right in the big games, he will show up. I don't care what he's doing for Borussia Mönchengladbach. They don't really play good soccer. I don't think it's a good fit for him.
Yeah.
But so as long as he's healthy and getting 20 minutes a game with them, I don't care what the stats are. He's coming to the World Cup if I have anything to say about it.
That's incredible.
For the record, I don't have anything to say about it.
Pedro Navas just said, Polanco has to get a Josh Sargent jab whenever he can. Never owe Christian any money. Brother. So across these 2 games, I mean, if I had to grade the U.S., I mean, to me, this is an A.
A plus.
Okay.
That's right? I don't think Austin Trusty showed well. I don't think Mark McKenzie was particularly good, but okay. I didn't think those guys were going to make a difference.
Sure.
The rest of the guys who I wanted to see play well, Balogun is a fighter. He wasn't super clean with his touches tonight, mm-hmm. but he's my number 9, you know, and Diego Luna, he's not as clean with his touches as he needs to be. He contributes. He leads the press. You know, Christian Roldan still being awesome against Paraguay. You go down, the guys who have played their way in, just dug in even deeper.
Yeah.
And then you get Reyna contributing on top of it. Then you get, I think, leveling up from Alex Freeman, your second favorite player in the world after Josh Sargent.
Another apology, I gotta say.
Yeah, you couldn't really have asked for more, especially because they're missing Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie and Chris Richards and guys who are supposed to be the spine. Yeah, are they going to be the spine? Because they're fighting for their jobs now.
Right, right. Yeah, this is a... and it sort of goes against... I mean, I've been saying for a while, I don't really love that Pochettino's been mixing up the lineups too much. I think we should have something more stable and I feel like we should know who is going to be at the World Cup by now. Mm-hmm. But this kind of performance makes me think oh man, I guess maybe I'm wrong a little bit. Yeah. I mean, to see these kind of performances is exciting. And I think
they left the door open.
Yeah. Right?
Chimwea, McKennie, Tyler Adams, even they left the door open for other guys to come through, and those guys have come through, and now it's a fight over the final 6 months before the World Cup roster is announced. I bet Pochettino likes it like that.
Okay. We got a couple of tweets that we want to highlight. The graphics team is going to bring it up. We got 45 people here today. Tom, USMNT.
Get Hulk Hogan out of there. Hulk Hogan. I guess someone better.
I mean, God already did. I'm sorry, buddy. it says USMNT 2025 November window. We got a picture of Xabi Alonso there. Bro, I don't know. Okay, and Alex Freeman is another one. I'm a who? What is this from him? Roger Sherman said that feeling when they fired your dad, but you're still going to ball out for America.
That's good.
That's a big picture. Michael Bradley with hair.
Right. But now we got Seth Berhalter there,
dude,
too, right?
Bro, we got a lot of draw. Adam Booker says, Uruguay head coach Marcelo Bielsa reportedly told one of his players that playing in MLS, quote, makes players lazy and that they must play elsewhere to make his squads. His Uruguay side is currently down 4-1 at halftime to the United States, and all 4 goals were scored by MLS players. Oh, perfect. I mean, right. Matt Doyle here, the armchair analyst, one of the experts of the league. So, we have USMNT only said, USMNT legend DeMarcus Beasley. That whole half made me smile. That first 40 minutes is the best I've seen the team play in a very long time. That's a well put. Even while I was watching him during halftime, I'm like, you also, most of the time, everybody who does the halftime has to explain why everything went so poorly. And it was nice to see him happy about it. What was that last tweet? I didn't see it. Oh, it was one of the comments. Oh, yeah. Let's look at some of the comments in the chat on YouTube. Shout out to everybody. Pedro Navas said, who replaced Alexis with American Idol's Daughtry?
I don't watch that show. I don't know who that is, but I'm taking it as
but
a compliment.
If you see Daughtry,
I'm taking it as a compliment.
I don't know their music, but I know that you look like the guy.
Oh, yeah. All right. You sound handsome.
Very much so. Very much so. What do we got next? Michael Dwyer said, Doyle, does this window suggest we need to raise the MLS quota?
He's a troublemaker.
I like that.
We got
five MLS starters, four guys who played in MLS and then went to Europe, another guy who came from an MLS academy and played in the old NASL for the Cosmos back in the day.
And
Serginho Dest. Serginho Dest is the odd man out. You're in trouble, Serginho.
You can feel free to read the next one.
The gap is Columbus Crew. Sebastian, Aiden, Max. We raised them right in Ohio. I actually thought Aiden Morris struggled a little bit, but part of that was because he must have been wearing a Target or something.
Yeah.
Uruguay did not like him. Didn't like John Tolkien. Yeah. Those fratty looking guys had it tough out there, man.
Shout out Pablito Carro. What's that? I don't know.
Paul Carr.
Oh, Paul Carr. Okay.
Legend, Paul Carr.
Right, I love it. Spiders out said, "Does this?" Oh, we asked it. Does this get Marcelo fired? Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen. What do we got next? Matt, speak up. Oh, I think the volume is a little low on YouTube, so I raised your volume.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna ask you to scream. That's not your aesthetic. That's not what you do. Andrew Johnson says, "Do you think Haji cost himself a roster spot? He didn't create any chances in a 5-goal game." I'll say this with Haji. I love the physicality. I love the fact that you saw it a couple of times where they were like bear hugging him because they were worried he might get the ball. And that might come in handy in a game.
For sure.
As a starter, I don't see it. Or even if he did start, I don't think he's like hurting the team in any...
There's a gap between him and Balogun, right?
But as far as creating chances for himself, I think... I don't think he costs... himself an opportunity. You have thoughts about Pepe though.
No, I mean, I think the fact that Pepe didn't get, unless we're, you know, he got injured or something and we just haven't been told about it. But I think the fact that Pepe didn't get on the field is a dead giveaway of what Pochettino thinks about him relative to Haji Wright. I think probably Pat Adjiman is still ahead of Pepe as well, because when Adjiman's been healthy, he's at least been trusted by Pochettino to get out there, and he moves the chains, right? He's not a pretty player to watch, but it's like the same thing you were talking about with Haji. Like, he imposes himself physically, makes it tough on opposing center backs, and suddenly it's guys like Diego Luna or, you know, Max Arfson cutting aside who have all this room. And it's like, well, that happened because the center forward was occupying two guys. Right. Pepe doesn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, Josh Sargent doesn't do that either.
I mean, but you don't even have to say that. I already have a long list of things that Josh Sargent does not do. So it's all good. All right. Do we have anything else? No more tweets. So some of the players of the game, and let's look at who do we got first that we want to highlight. Is it Alex Freeman maybe? Should we start there? Alex Freeman with a brace. The
apologize.
I mean, I wish I had some sad music to play. I do not go at Alex Freeman as hard as I go at Josh Sargent, right? Alex Freeman, I think he is deserving of a national team call-up. I think he is he's the best defensive fullback that the U.S. has right now. So I appreciate that. My issues in the previous windows, and maybe this is just a matter of him getting settled, just the decision-making wasn't great. I didn't love really him going forward. I never felt like he made any, like, line-breaking passes or any dangerous passes to help either a midfielder or forward and just move the ball forward in these two angles. And this game, Pochettino must have just told him, like, bro, stop being scared. Do what you got to do. Impose yourself on defenders. And you clearly saw that. I mean, the set piece on the corner, jumping over, he's again freak athlete. Yeah. And obviously, on the broadcast, they're bringing up all the time. He's the son of an NFL player. We get it. I know that. So it's annoying for me, I guess, for new people. But leaped. I mean, Rodrigo Betancourt marking him is a joke. I mean, like, you might as well have him have an open header. But then to be his first goal, and then the second goal. I'm like, once you score your first against Uruguay, I love his celebration. He was like, oh, bro, look at me, bro. I didn't want to just act like I've been here before. I was just here 8 minutes ago. I think, again, it pushes that. Who is going to be the fullback? What is this formation going to, what's the best formation? Maybe we need to have Alex Freeman on the field. Yeah. He is.
Do you think this is downstream of the fight against Paraguay? Do you think that moment where he really got into it with the entire Paraguay bench?
Sure.
Right? Do you think that gave him confidence because Pochettino loved that so much, that the fact that he wasn't going to give up the ball, the fact that he was getting dogpiled. And he just,
you know what's funny is that we know the story of when Diego Luna broke his nose and how much Pochettino respected
him. That man was glowing when he was talking about it.
He was like, wanted to keep him in the game. And he wanted to stay in the game, and he's telling him, like, you want, and we saw all the stories, and he said, well, he has balls or something like that, And it became a new storyline for the USMNT. Mm-hmm. And then Alex Freeman gets into that fight. His like mouth is bloody mm-hmm. after it or whatever. And then he has this game. So there's, to me, there's something with Pochettino where he's like, I want to see you kill a guy. Right? If you don't kill a guy, I don't know if you're going to make it to the World Cup.
And now Alex Freeman's a made man. That's it.
Okay. He got his stripes. He did everything he needed to do. And I think this kind of goes back to the, you know, Pochettino's criticism. I mean, look, right? He's the way he's going to impose his will on the team, he's not going to teach them how to pass the ball or shoot better or whatever. It's just finding the right roster, getting them to believe in themselves, and then getting them, you know, he's Argentinian. There is a
Are you about to be problematic?
I'm about to be wrong. I'm gonna say that, like, we know mm-hmm. that Argentinian, when it comes to either from players to supporters, there's a, like, they're like kind of psychotic. There's mm-hmm. like an insanity.
I'm gonna sit this one out, but you go ahead.
there's a level of insanity to the dedication mm-hmm. to the badge. That, you know, Argentinian fans are singing every song. It's like, and the entire state, there's not anybody who doesn't know the songs. Mm-hmm. And I think he's...
That's true.
And he's bringing that to this team. And it's, I mean, it'll take probably a generation for it to be that, like, you know, as intense as Argentina. Maybe even multiple generations. But at the very least, he's bringing some of that, I would argue even toxic culture of how people engage with the sport and bringing that look, that's what you need to win a World Cup. You need some good players, a little bit of luck. Mm-hmm. You know, refs make a couple of mistakes here and there, and you make a
crazy psychotic amount of toughness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where it feels like that is the his best quality.
And that used to be the US's best quality, right? Okay. At some point, we kind of lost that a little bit, but you think back to the 2009 win over Spain in Confederations Cup or the 2002 run to the quarterfinal. Like, those teams were wickedly tough. And over the last 10 years or so, I don't think, and I hate to be that reductive, but like, I just don't think they've played that tough. And like, we're starting to see that again. I think there was some pretty soccer in there as well.
I agree.
I mean, the Freeman goal being the big one.
Yeah. So my play of the game is Alex Freeman. Yeah. What about yours?
It's Sepp Berhalter. Because I think he set the tone with that goal, just being as aggressive as it was in that moment to be like, touch it back to me and I'm going to bend that. Like, that was a big game-changing play. And when I looked at the roster at the 11 at the start of the game, I was like, I'm not sure that they have any game changers other than maybe Diego Luna in the final third. So for him to step up in that moment, but then also his set piece delivery, immaculate once again, and his toughness in the challenge all night up to and including the point where he drew a red card on, was it Betancur?
Betancur.
And like, all right, that's kind of a hat trick, man. You got a goal, you got an assist, and you drew a red card. Like, that's like, that is getting stuck.
It's like
in.
Hitting for the cycle.
Yeah, seriously. And I just like, I never, like, I'm delighted in this because I never saw it coming with Sepp Berhalter. I remember 10 years ago watching him play at Generation Adidas Cup, and he was just like a nice technical little player. Never someone you saw with a national team future. And for him to be here now, having this type of game against this type of team, like, you could have seen it with Alex Freeman because of the way he played, you know, as a youth player and the obvious gifts that he has with Sepp Berhalter. Like, it wasn't there, and now it is, and it's kind of amazing to watch.
I love Major Money just said, personally, I'd love to hear what Alex Freeman's dad thinks. As an NFL legend, does he even get how good his kid is?
I mean, he's an NFL player. Yeah, he's not dead.
I don't know if it's a facetious question, but it's interesting because I've seen Alex Freeman What's his dad's name?
Antonio.
Antonio Freeman. Talk about his son, and and he's, I think he does get it, but he doesn't. I don't know if it's like tough dad thing, NFL guy. He's like doesn't allow himself to be too impressed. You know what I mean? Like win a World Cup, then you know he's a little bit of that. But
he better be impressed after tonight.
I hope so. Right? I hope so. But man, yeah, that was a I mean, it's one of those games that. For a player like that, you know, even with Orlando, they lost in the wild card, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like not sort of representative of like what his season has sort of been, and like or the team's season has been.
Yeah, not his,
not his. Not,
yeah,
exactly.
He was not the problem.
And for him to have a game like this is just again for for both of them, I think is remarkable. So, okay. The Sir Berhalter stats here, 80 minutes, 90 minutes, one goal, one assist, three chances created.
One broken leg avoided.
Yeah.
Which is important because Vancouver needs him bad this weekend.
I also, the fact that there was a red card given in a friendly, I mean, it has to be a pretty bad challenge for.
That was a bad one.
Yeah. So it's they usually get, they have a very long leash because they don't really want to send anybody off. But dumb challenge from Betancourt. The one thing I wanted to mention. Especially highlighting Sebastian Berhalter, I think we've seen it enough across these two these two matches. But who's taking corners? Because it can't be Christian Pulisic anymore.
Correct.
We have
he should never take a corner again. For that, we've failed as a country. If Christian Pulisic ever takes another corner.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting aspect of this window where. You just change some of the roles a little bit, and the improvement is clearly there. Max Arfstein. Even Tolkien
had one that was like, he hit it with the deep magic, man. That was wild.
I love I don't know. Why can't everybody do that? It's one of those strange.
You go out there and do it. We'll film it.
I mean, it's just like, just tell the guy how to do it and let him do it. But that's not how it works. This game is very fascinating. But the corner from Sebastian Berhalter, Arfstein and Tolkien is just like, bro, there's clear. It's such a
it's a level difference. Above.
The threat is just. Clearly there.
And when Jack McGlynn is healthy, he's even better than those guys. Like McGlynn is like the best American I've ever seen at set piece delivery.
Yeah. In the chat, let us know who should be taking the corners. Because I think that's made a really big difference. Okay. Let's talk about stock up, stock down. Who do we think? With stock up, who do you think made
from tonight
or for the window? What do you think, Carter? For the window,
Gio,
right?
Okay. Yeah, coming from where he was, and like a month ago, I wasn't sure he was going to play again this cycle. To come in and a goal in one game, created the second goal.
Yeah,
looked fit, right? Like he still doesn't sprint, which is a worry because like at some point as a soccer player, you have to run as fast as you can. And we have not seen him do that since 2021.
Yeah.
But like he looked good and then came off the bench. I don't think he was as sharp in this game, but he had an assist anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gio. Okay.
For me, I would also go with Gio, but for the sake of just picking someone else that I think stock, I guess Alex Freeman is not really, I guess his stock did go up. I mean, there's no way to deny it. I mean, I feel like as far as like people that didn't score, you were more critical of Aiden Morris. I thought I liked the tenacity in this game. I liked the he just looked a little sharper, a little, he had like a pep in his step. That I'm not used to.
He was getting stuck in. I thought he was really sloppy, right? If you think about the breakdowns at the end of that first half, a couple of them, including the goal, came from giveaways from Aiden Morris. When you think about the guys he's competing against for that spot, guys like Christian Roldan and Tyler Adams, Tanner Tessman, who came in, had a really good game. Tough.
Okay.
I thought it was a tough night for Aiden Morris.
So at the very least, I don't think it wasn't stock down, in my opinion. But I agree. I think he did have a couple flaws there. Stock down. Who do you think made a worse case for himself?
I mean, it's unfortunate because he's played well for his club, but Mark McKenzie had a chance to make a statement tonight, and his distribution was not great. You know, and that's got to be his calling card, right? He's supposed to be kind of the right-footed Tim Ream. And Tim Ream never misplays a pass. He always waits it perfectly. breaks lines ball if it, and like Mark McKenzie didn't really do that. And then he's also kind of weak in the air and that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so like, is he still in the running? I think so, because it's not like Miles Robinson was perfect the other night, but it doesn't feel like he made any sort of a case for himself as someone who should be a core piece.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, it was for the goal that they ended up giving up. I forgot who was it that tried to head the ball backwards.
It was Austin Trusty.
It was just Trusty. Yeah. But it was just like a little bit more hectic than it really needed to be.
And then McKenzie wasn't able to get in there and clear. Yeah.
I mean, who stuck down?
Ricardo Pepi for the window.
That's fair.
If you think about it, like coming from where he was, like he's a Champions League player, right? He plays for PSV.
Yeah.
He's a goal machine for them. He did not beat out Balogun for the start against Paraguay. Okay, that's fine. Balogun's great. But he comes on and he has a chance to make a mark, to score a goal. He takes three touches when one would have done. Yeah, yeah. And then he doesn't play in this game. That's tough.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when we were watching his chance back, and it's just...
You groaned.
You were like, oh, yeah. It's different. Because, you know, when you watch the replay, you're like, he's going to get it this time. Like, you realize.
And he just keeps taking touches.
It's like, wait, not what you were supposed to do. Why? Right now, when I hit
your left foot. Your left foot.
Frustrating. Yeah, it's frustrating to, you know, where a moment like that can change the trajectory of, like, you know, your USMNT career. Possibly.
Yeah.
I still think he gets another opportunity in March.
I think we'll see him in March. Yeah.
But yeah, not great.
The door's shutting.
Yeah. Yeah. And even since he's come back from injury, it's just been... he scored a little bit for PSV, but it's like... I guess it's probably not impressive enough for...
The teams he's scoring against, I mean, if you look at that league, 2/3 of the league is like USL level, you know, and it's not a tough league, right? It doesn't instill the type of things that, you know, Pochettino clearly values. And maybe that was reflected a little bit in training. Guessing at that. But like the fact that he didn't play is a worry.
Okay. All right. Let's look at a couple tweets. We got Landon Donovan said, "What is going on?" And that's just him looking in the mirror, looking at his hair. Glenn Dempsey says USMNT and just the eyeball emoji, the eyes emoji. We got Joe Lowry. Shout out to Joe Lowry of Total Soccer. You can read this one.
What if Christian Pulisic didn't take every set piece for the USMNT when healthy? You got the Apollo hook right there.
All right. Alex on Twitter says, holy S, LMFAO, we are destroying Uruguay. a quote-unquote World Cup favorite with our C team.
Yeah, we got Hulk Hogan, now we got Mel Gibson. What is going on here, man? What is wrong with your fans?
Literally the worst.
There it is.
Seth Berhalter just did a Toni Kroos. Yeah, bro. Look, he's making a case for himself. At the World Cup, he's already basically reenacting iconic World Cup goals.
I like that. That's a good bit. That's a good bit. You should keep doing that.
So keep it up. This is a win. Oh, we got some comments as well. Michael Raymond said, "Do we look better without Grandpa Reem?" That's a good question.
I don't think so. But I wouldn't. You know, I don't think his position is nailed down. Right. Uh-huh. Like he's got to keep playing. You know, the season starts for Charlotte in February and you got a month before that March camp, and he's got to come out and, you know, still be the guy that he was this past year.
Okay. Next up, we got Major Money said, "I just love the fact that on a team with all these dudes in top leagues in Europe, the best options are MLS Academy kids. Whichever option allows me to be the most obnoxious about MLS, the answer." I love it.
No comment.
No. Matt's a fan. AJ1 says, "It's official. Poch knows ball better than Christian." Okay. Slow it. You would hope.
Right. I mean, I don't know. If you were managing, maybe we win 6-1.
that's right. No, man. I never really questioned Pochettino. Not heart. I'm like, it's a it'd be silly to sort of question Pochettino, given that we've already qualified for the World Cup. If these are World Cup qualifiers. Mm-hmm. I would specifically say Pochettino's doing a bad job and if we're getting bad results, I would be way more specific about who I was criticizing. Given that this is an odd window and that we've already qualified, we all have to figure out what we want to prioritize. Is it results in the friendlies? Is it performance in the friendlies?
It's clearly culture.
Yeah,
right. And I had my doubts about it as well because I don't think his first year was particularly impressive. But ever since that second half of the South Korea game a couple of months ago, he's pulled all the right levers, and it's like 1 through 40 on the player pool who have answered the bell, and like you can't ask for much more than that.
Sure. All right. EJ1 also. Oh, wait. Did I read that one? I think I did. We can go back to it, but whatever. You let me know. Hope to hear how this impacts the starting 11. I haven't seen our quote unquote best play this well in I don't know how long. And it's like we've been saying, it's just
first world problems.
Good problem to have. MLS players are the heart of this USMNT. Thank you, Don Garber. Wow. The first. Hey, buddy, you work there, man. Make sure you smile, man. Give a thumbs up, say how much you love this comment. is this Garber's burner? I don't know. No, man. If I respect Pochettino for, you know, even when he got the job, he never poo-pooed MLS. Yeah. I mean, maybe...
He didn't poo-poo any of the leagues, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing in a good level, you're going to get called in, whether it's Championship, MLS, Premier League, Serie A, and like that's what the job is.
Yeah, dude. So just a fantastic two games.
Glowing.
When we were prepping for these two games and prepping for this show, I was just like, all right, our show is to uplift people after terrible losses. Right, right. That's what we do. Right. And all of a sudden, now we're like...
Your watch is ended.
Like, you're taking my job, USMNT. Stop taking my work away from me. To not have to bring that a little bit of that optimism and joy. Yeah. And just we got to... like they brought it themselves. It's something like...
So how about you zag? How about you start bringing everybody down?
Oh, okay.
Let's find something really terrible.
Hey, no. I'd be sitting across Alexi Lawless. That would be the move. Thank you, everybody. We good? Are we done? I think we got everything. We can say... producer said we could say goodbye.
So, all right.
That means I could say goodbye. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in the chat, across all of Yahoo Sports. If anybody is new to the Cooligans experience, it's always like this. It's always this positive. My name is Christian Polanco. This is my guest co-host, Matt Doyle of MLS. And also, please shout out people because you do
a great newsletter. Yeah, I have a newsletter, Tactics Free Zone on Substack. It's a fun one to write. Can cut loose a little bit in that one.
Sure. I mean, and cutting loose for you is really breaking down the XG of every little...
It was more about X Dog tonight, though.
Yeah.
You guys really showed that dog. I like that.
I mean, there are few people on earth that know as much about MLS or just American soccer as a whole as Matt Doyle. So
that is sadly true.
That
is damning right there, my friend. Yeah,
like, I don't know. Is there a Presidential Medal of... of honor for one, but no, I mean, fewer people have been as dedicated to this game as you have, especially on this continent. So it's an honor and a pleasure. I know everybody in the chat is very grateful that you're sitting here with me and being able to be dummies
it's a pleasure every single time.
So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, please do that. If you're watching across the other Yahoo channels, at Soccer Cooligans is our handles. And you follow Matt on Blue Sky at Matt Doyle
dot bsky dot social. You'll
it's
find
like a
me.
Number. No, you have no, a number. No, no, yours, you don't.
The numbers on the other stuff. Yeah.
At Matt Doyle, you'll find
Tactics Free Zone on Instagram. You'll find me.
Do the whole thing. Yeah. We appreciate y'all. Shout out to the Yahoo team, producer Carter and Ingrid on the graphics, doing everything. All the slides going off. She's crushing it, bro. you love to see it. All right. So we'll be back. Just a heads up. We'll be back. We're not recording a normal show on this Thursday. We're actually being doing a live show after the NWSL final this Saturday. So be on the lookout for
who
that.
Who you got?
Alexis Guerreros.
No. Come on.
Oh, to win? I mean, I'm a Gotham homer.
Okay.
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Washington Spirit have not scored against Gotham this season. I could be wrong. It might be only like one goal. So I think it's a low scoring game. Who you got?
I'm kind of a Gotham homer too.
Okay. I mean, it's one of those things where you sort of like, I think a lot of people want kind of like both teams to win. Mm-hmm. But I
love the way Washington plays.
It's a beautiful team, and I think as far as defensively, that's where Gotham, I mean, they have Gift Monday and Kouassi are just unbelievable. And you saw the goal that she scored the other weekend. So it's going to be tough. So this weekend, Saturday, after the NWSL final, join us here on the Cooligans YouTube and across Yahoo Sports, and we're going to be talking about the game. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Y'all were hilarious. We always appreciate it. You make the show a lot more fun. So thank you for all your contributions as well. All right. We'll see you Saturday, everybody. Peace.